Welcome to the Browns Bridge podcast. My name is Tim Cooper, and I am very excited about today's episode. Today, I am going to be spending some time with Dr. Andy Ward, who's a licensed psychologist who specializes in clinical and neuropsychological services. I had the opportunity to spend some time with him, asking him about the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and what they're having on people emotionally, psychologically, and even spiritually. Hope you enjoy. Well, I am here today with Andy Ward, who is a good friend of mine, but on top of that is also my counselor and has been for a while. And Andy, you have been a counselor for how many years now?
I'm going on 21.
21 years. You have helped me immensely, and many people I care about immensely. Tell us a bit about your background. Like, how long have you been, not just 21 years of practicing, but tell me just about what you enjoy doing most in your line of work.
Yeah, sure. Well, again, by way of introduction, I'm a licensed psychologist. Really, in many ways, this is just why I'm here on this earth. It's just a calling that God has been on my life, and it's a real privilege to just come alongside and to serve others, to pour into them, to help them be better versions of themselves. I will say counseling is only a piece of what I do. Being a psychologist, I do a lot of psychological testing. I'm dual trained also in neuropsychology, so that's always a very fun and interesting facet, nuance of psychology. I also run a separate leadership consulting company, and so I get to play in different arenas, business leaders, and try to help them also be better versions of themselves in the workplace, leading others, etc. So busy guy, a lot of pans in the fire, but no day is boring, and that's what I like.
Well, and I know, I mean, I've benefited from, but I know you specialize in marriages as well, which during this pandemic, I'm so curious if how marriages are handling this unique season and time. So I know your work is helping a whole bunch of people. And I'm just curious what you're seeing in this time. What is this pandemic, not just doing for marriages, but what is this pandemic doing for people that you're seeing?
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, virtually everybody is touched by this. Dare I say everyone is. I mean, even if you're a child, the whole issue of school and how learning changed has been very impactful. People working from home. I mean, I'm working from home now. You're working from home. Just our service delivery to our teams, our clients, etc., has just been very different. Relationally, I hear a lot of different kinds of comments during this time. Some people say this is some of the richest family time we've ever had because our lives were forced to be slower, a little more quiet. Now we have to be more intentional about connecting. And I love those stories. And in many ways, I can say that's been my story too. Really getting to know my kids, especially on a Saturday morning when we would be out doing sports. We're just having a lazy morning, cooking breakfast together, playing basketball outside, throwing the football, that kind of thing. What's been hard, though, is due to a lot of the stress, financial stress, fear over the contagion. It's caused challenges, too, in marriages and in relationships. In fact, I do know from several of my friends in law enforcement that the rates of domestic violence have gone up since all this started. And so if you went into this season with some real difficulty, in many ways, this just made it worse. I like the analogy of people are like tubes of toothpaste. You squeeze them and then, right, what comes out is already what was in there. And so we're just seeing a lot of those problems being exacerbated.
That's scary to think about. What is, if somebody's experiencing that, what do you feel like they should do if domestic violence is a part of their world in this season?
Yeah. Well, don't suffer alone. Don't suffer in silence. Tell somebody. I strongly believe that you need an advocate. You need someone to help in those very difficult times. But even if that isn't a part of the equation, if you're just in a very hard situation relationally with a spouse or partner, you can still get help in this time. Doing sessions online is a very workable and doable delivery option. And a lot of people are getting help in a non-traditional way, but in a very effective way. So I'd strongly encourage that as well.
So it seems like, you know, in just being engaged with the church and getting to connect with a bunch of people, hearing a bunch of stories about how people are dealing with this. And then from your standpoint, you're obviously getting to intimately know what people are going through. In my perception, it seems like people are walking around with more grief, with more fear, with more uncertainty than they normally walk around with. Do you feel like that's the case?
Absolutely. There's been a real evolution of that too, from just when it started 2 months ago. You know, at first, some of the predominant feelings that I was observing is that there was some incredulousness or some real skepticism. Is this real? Is this legit? Once it began to really grow and the contagion spread, that's when we found a lot of hysterical reactions, right? People just absolutely going and just doing this massive shopping spree and hoarding things. And then as we kind of settled into this, that's when more what I observed, just kind of the anxiousness and the unsettledness and the uncertainty kind of emotions really settle in. When is this going to end? Lately, I've been hearing a lot of just fatigue from all of this. You know, we've been firmly planted in midair for several months, and we can't get consistency from a lot of our news sources and trusted sources as to, is this dangerous or not? When is this going to end? What's safe in terms of coming back and re-acclimating to social contact? And because of that, we don't know which way is up. It's hard to know how to interpret these things. That affects us emotionally. It's stressful. And it's difficult to know how to manage and cope with that if we can't discern and make sense of our circumstances. We as human beings, we need to know with certainty what it is we're dealing with. Then we can cope with it. But if we don't know what we're dealing with yet, it just makes it harder.
So it seems like what you're saying is that this fear is almost different than fear we might have had in January, or our response to this pandemic is actually different. Like, even if we've had, you know, scary situations before or things that have brought up anxiety before, it's almost like this situation is bringing up something different. Is that true?
I think that's true. Some reasons behind that is, number one, we're all in this together. Everyone is experiencing this. This is different than something that's unique to my life. But if we're all in it together, although one hand it feels comforting that we're all in it together, at the same time, we're hearing about other people's suffering and how it's affected them, either economically or for people who contracted the virus, and in some cases having family members who passed away and they can't grieve appropriately. Just watching that, seeing that, that affects us emotionally. And so that's kind of unique to this. I think the second thing is just how, because of our 24/7 news cycle, it's reinforcing our fear all the more. I mean, just turn on your TV and you're just going to get bombarded with just such bad news. One of the boundaries I've put in place to deal with that personally is I'm consuming all of my news now via reading. I'm not watching anything anymore. It allows me to stop and start when I want to. I get a gloss over things that are a little bit more sensational. And that just has given me a sense of control in all of this, which helps me cope better.
So what do you feel like? I love that, especially with news, because, you know, we're at home more, so we're consuming more, probably, you know, we're on our phones more. I mean, there's so much more that we're bringing in, and what we're bringing in is also probably
worse than it's ever been, you know, in terms of news. So I love doing, just thinking through it that way. Like, how do we read this? Or maybe not even just how do we watch it? I think that's such a better channel. What do you feel like people can do to not be so helpless in this season?
Yeah. Well, one of the number one triggers of the stress response in a person, you could even say the triggering of fear and anxiety also, is a perceived sense of lack of control, powerlessness, essentially. And I think it's helpful to look in your life and decide and identify where you have more power, where you have the power of choice. Sometimes you can't choose the circumstances that happen to you, but you can choose your attitude. You can choose your mental outlook. You can choose to respond in various ways. Just re-acclimating yourself to that can really help with stress coping. So that's one thing. I think secondly is we have to be very cautious against worst case scenario thinking internally. There's lots of research on this, but we have a hard time, especially our brains have a hard time distinguishing between what's imagined versus what's real, which is why you can just think about something in the future, play out difficult conversations with people, and literally you feel yourself getting worked up as if it happened and it never happened in history. Hmm. That's the power of our mind. And it's why the Apostle Paul was so onto this topic where he said, take your thoughts captive, right? He didn't realize he was being a great psychologist. I mean, left to our own devices, we're going to be negative, pessimistic, cynical. But when we take our thoughts captive, especially when it comes to worst case scenario thinking, that can really help us cope better in these uncertain times. You know, one of my favorite all-time quotes is from Mark Twain, and he said this near the end of his life. He said, I am an old man, and I have known a great many trials and tribulations in life, most of which never came true. And I like that because what he's saying to us is that, you know, sometimes things can happen to us that are bad, and his life is certainly testament to that. But most of the time, the things that we extrapolate into the future, the worst case scenario of thinking, doesn't end up in the way that we fear the most. And that's a real lesson for us.
I resonate with that, and I'm an optimistic, you know, person by nature, and this season has gotten the best of me at times. How do you know when you are in that worst case scenario of thinking? Like, what's a sign that you are in that in order to be able to kind of get out of it?
Yeah. We're all going to go there, I believe, at some moment, at some time. I think when we repetitively go there and we have a hard time thinking about positive things, best case scenarios, or at least mixed case scenarios, but we just get into a rumination trap where that steals our peace. And despite our best efforts, we just can't seem to reframe our thoughts. If that's happening, that probably means you may need some assistance in getting to that. If you can't redirect those thoughts or feelings on your own. I think another thing is look for the other ways it steals your peace. Are you not sleeping well? Are you not eating well? When you're engaging in relationships, are you just preoccupied? Are you distant and aloof because internally you're feeling locked down and burdened emotionally and mentally? Those are more warning signs that perhaps you might need someone to help guide you through the process of coping better.
So, you know, we are one of the things that we believe as a church and we are so passionate about is getting people connected into life-changing relationships. We don't just, you know, have groups in our church for social clubs. We want people to not feel alone and have somebody to talk to. So how does someone distinguish between the everyday stress and anxiety and, you know, just needing to process and talk about something versus the stress, anxiety, emotion that merits talking with a professional like yourself?
Sure. Well, again, if it's at a level where it limits your functioning, meaning you just can't do your work, or at least very well, you're not remembering as much. Your attention and concentration is really hindered. Mm. Again, maybe you're experiencing depression. You and I have talked about this before, but depression sometimes is an indication of burnout. And so if you're feeling just not just melancholic, but truly down where it limits your functioning, that's a warning sign that, again, maybe it's time to up your level of care.
And it's probably at that point where if you're talking with somebody, if somebody's talking to you about things and they're sharing some stuff like that, maybe the best thing we can do is not just be a listening ear, but recommend for them to see a professional and to see a counselor.
Again, if you're just seeing some of the warning signs, it's one thing to have strong feelings and needing someone to be there, to commiserate with, to show empathy and compassion. But if that feels really insufficient and your functioning continues to be hindered, you just don't feel yourself. It's always a good idea to then seek another source of input. You don't have to certainly stop meeting with your loved ones, cherished ones, your small group, mentors, etc. I'm just a firm believer, bring in as many different voices in your life as possible to speak life into you and to help you learn how to navigate your circumstances better.
I remember, you know, you and I met over a decade ago, and I remember I just needed one appointment. I was like, hey, we just need to talk about this one thing and then I'll be good. And now we're 10 years in. So that's my own ability to see into the future. But one of the best things you've taught me over the years is being able to bring to somebody that's for you and in your corner, being able to bring how I'm really feeling, how I'm really experiencing the world, what I'm really thinking, and then having somebody in my corner with the tools to help me say, oh, that is normal. Well, you know, sometimes I'll share something with you and you can just say, oh, that's normal. That's a normal thing to be experiencing. And I think during this pandemic, nothing could be more important than having somebody go, oh yeah, that's normal. And that doesn't make you crazy. That's not some outlandish crazy thing. That is just something that normal people are going through right now. So I love that. I love that you've been that for me. And I love that other people are leaning into that in this season.
Well, thank you. You know, I need that for myself too. Well, my wife is also a licensed counselor, so that helps. but I need, you ought to hear our fights. They're ridiculous.
That's right.
But I have men in my life, trusted friends and confidants, even beyond my spouse, that I can be real with. I can help, they can help me discern what it is I'm feeling. Simply because I deal with feelings all day, that doesn't mean I can know my own self. And I'm a firm believer in this statement, you can't know yourself by yourself. We need other people in our life to speak into us, mirror things to us, give us truth. And I need that for myself. And so talking to other people, meaningful relationships is the vehicle in which we can achieve that.
I love that. I stole that from you and say it all the time. And give you credit, of course, but you can't know yourself by yourself. That is, growth is such a team sport. And that's why we want the people in our church to reach out. Our care team is available and wants to help and wants to connect you with counselors. I mean, that is, that's how we met. I reached out and asked for help, and our church suggested several people, and I don't know where my life would be without you. I'm grateful for that. And like I said, I only needed one appointment and it's been 10 years. So who knew? It's been 10 years. And I don't think I'm graduating anytime soon. I love that reminder in this season. What would you say for people that maybe have never talked to a counselor? I think once you talk to a counselor, it's so much easier to see the benefit of it and to continue with it. But there is still such a stigma. And my guess is even people listening to this would be like, oh, that's good for you, or that's good for them, or they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't make fun of somebody that's going to see a counselor, but they're like, but that's not for me. What do you say to people that have never, ever, what would you say to them? And then maybe what could they expect when they do talk to a counselor?
Well, I like to say you're worth taking a risk on. take a risk on yourself. It's risky to go talk to somebody, but it's the purpose of it is to grow, to heal in some cases. And so almost all things in life that are worth experiencing require some degree of risk. And so I would say lean into that a little bit. You don't have to commit to 10 years. Perhaps you just try it once and just taste it. See if it's something that is workable. It fits. I can say most counselors, they don't bite. They're actually usually very gentle people who genuinely love and care for the people with whom God has entrusted to them, the people they work with. And so I just know that God wants to provide for us, and usually he does it through other people. And those are people who are just willing and wanting to just come alongside and love on them, pour into them, make them better versions of themselves.
That's so good. And I will, just to brag on our care team who I get to work with as a part of my job, I will say, I mean, they vet and they talk with all of those counselors to try to make sure the ones that do bite are not in our network and are not the ones that we're recommending you to. I mean, these are people that we send the people of our church to because we care about the people of our church, and we don't just want them out there doing a Google search. We want to say, no, these are people that we know and trust and people that we have good experiences with. So even if you're worried about them kind of, harming you in some way, we've kind of done the legwork for you and say, no, these are the ones that we work with and that we have a track record with and that we have, experienced really healthy things from. So it's like we've almost taken the guesswork out of it for people.
Yes. And I can only second that. The care team throughout the North Point campuses are they're phenomenal. I work with churches not just over the city, but in some across the country, and North Point has the most stellar, most capable, competent, and gracious and loving care staff I've ever had the privilege of working with. I'm not just saying that, but that is absolutely a true statement. They really are people of quality, and they've done their homework to set people up for success.
I love that. I can't thank you enough personally, but I also know just corporately, thank you for what you're doing in this season and finding a new way to do it. I know you're meeting over Zoom like this with people and trying to do the best we can in this season, but you're helping give people the tools so that they can thrive in this season. Anything else we missed or didn't cover that you'd just want to share?
Nothing is really obvious, except this. We're going to get through this. Pandemics end. Economies rebound. Jobs do come back. Even if you've been adversely affected by all this, this will get better. And I just think all of us need that encouragement.
I love that. Well, Andy, thank you for doing this today. Thanks for what you're doing. I'm just grateful for you. And I hope you listening to this got to benefit today just from what Andy was sharing. But more than anything, we just don't want you to be in this alone. Please reach out to our care team. We'd love you to feel like we are in this with you, because we are. So Andy, thanks so much for doing this today.
My pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Dr. Andy Ward. And I mentioned it a couple times on the episode that we would love for you to reach out. If you are wanting some help, you can go to brownsbridge.org, and there's a big button that says Need Help. If you click on Need Help, you will see Care and Counseling as a link right at the top there. And once you click on that, you'll see something for counseling referrals. And we would just love to help in that process. If you're wanting to talk to somebody, be sure to go to our website, click on those links, and we'd love to hear from you and connect you with somebody that is a professional that can help you deal with all that we're going through during this season.